welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. Sandy Williams is with us. And I think the gremlins disappeared, Sandy. I just don't know. They come and go. Sandy, I wanted to...
You mentioned Ukraine, but before you get there, I wanted to just go back to the last piece of that news in the break about Miss Scott, Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, who's given all this money. Because, you know, you listen to that news and you realize that Bezos himself could be giving away money at that clip and never get down below $100 billion of net worth. And just think of the difference his image would have if every couple of months you listened to the radio and found out that Jeff Bezos had given $15 million to this in Milwaukee and that in Schenectady, New York, and all over the country. Andrew Carnegie figured this out 150 years ago. And, you know, Andrew Carnegie built 3,000 libraries and did lots and lots of good things with his money. And what's wrong with these people? You know, if you have $150 billion, you can give $100 billion away and still have more money than a human being should ever, ever, ever have.
And generational wealth that
not be spent. Oh, yeah. It's kind of striking to me that it takes someone, a woman who's just thinking, I guess, and realizing that money is more important if you do something good with it, who is doing lots of good with it very quickly. I think she's given away already like $5 billion.
You know, Sandy, I'm glad you brought the thing up and money, because as important as money is in the world, the value of it and what it can be used for, as you stated, you know, we could end poverty in the world very easily. You know, right now, all the things I've been reading, Sandy, lately about the famine that's going to be coming to Europe because of the war that's taking place, and the fact that Ukraine and the wheat and that they produce, and all of these people with all of this money, it doesn't have to happen, right? I mean, that's something that Jeff Bezos and others can do something about. We know it's coming. The war is certainly going to be a major stain, not just on Ukraine and Russia, but many other people are going to be suffering, the African nations, everybody, because I didn't realize just how much, Russia and Ukraine provided.
You know, it's something like 20-30% of the wheat in the world.
Yeah, I mean, if you take that away, somebody's going to be on the short end of the stick, right?
I mean, I just think that these people with all this money, you know, we have all kinds of people talking about oligarchs in the world and how it is that the 1% have all this money, and if people hang up as the poster child for people with too much money, people like Jeff Bezos. What is wrong with them? Why don't they start this? William Gates has been at this for quite a while and has been doing quite a bit of good, and the name William Gates doesn't carry anywhere near the negative connotations as some of these other people, and I'm just surprised. You'd think that the goodness of what they'd be doing would be so heartwarming to them that they would be enthusiastically spending their money to do good deeds. But you know, it's easy for me to say, but it wouldn't be very hard for them to do. You know, it's not. How many super yachts do you need?
Well, you know, you talked about again Bill Gates and his philanthropy. Globally, the impact that he's had globally.
Yeah.
And what is he still one of the top three or four?
I mean, he's got more money left. He's got more money left than he started with when he started giving it away. And you know, he and Warren Buffett and others have basically committed to give away a lot of money during their lifetime, and they seem to be actively doing it. I think Gates's foundation eliminated one terrible worm-based parasitic disease in Africa. They actually ridded the continent of the disease. You know, they've done a lot for malaria. They've done some big things on some big problems that maybe Americans don't suffer, but the rest of the world has.
You know, Sandy, Bill Gates would be remembered because of his philanthropic work historically, more so than all the money that he has accumulated. You think back, some of those guys when you and I were young and who had all the money, you know, their names kind of...
Well, the Rockefellers and the Rockefeller Foundation has actively done a lot of good. The Ford Foundation is known for doing a lot of good. The Fulbright, there's just lots of wealthy people. And, you know, like I said, Carnegie, who was really viewed as one of the robber barons of his time, but he managed at least to create a legacy for himself that involves a university and 3,000 libraries across the country and all kinds of stuff. You know, it was he gave away money at a very rapid clip too for public purposes.
You know, Sandy, I wanted to move now into what I think many of us, why is it, Sandy, that we keep hearing these conversations? And I'm saying that I'm becoming more and more leery of the fact that Vladimir Putin continues to, things happening to him that are happening to him, it is more likely that he may do something. You know, we're cheering, we're pushing more sanctions, where more weapons we're sending, and he's being humiliated. You know what I mean, Sandy?
Well, I think what's happened, what's worrisome to me is that, you know, the United States tends to pick and choose which autocrats in the world they decide are bad guys and ought to be squeezed. For some reason, there has been a centuries-long suspicion between Western Europe and Eastern Europe about the nature of the Eastern Europe empires. You know, when the more you read about what went on in Eurasia as compared to what went on in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, you realize that they have a whole different worldview. Eastern Asia has been the world of empires, ebbing and flowing. The Byzantine Empire, the Mongol Horde Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Lithuanian-Polish Empire, the Russian Empire. All of these empires have grown in size, shrunk in size, ebbed and flowed, and they're all about territory. They're all about getting substantially big territory to protect themselves against the neighboring horde, the neighboring empire. And so territory in the Eurasian empires has been very important, and the boundaries have been very important, and it's sort of ingrained in them. And also the Eurasian Empire of Russia, which is basically an Orthodox Slavic empire, has suffered greatly from Western Europe's invasions. They had World War I, where they had massive losses, and then World War II, where they had unbelievably huge human loss of 25 or more million people. So their experience is different than Western Europe, and their reactions are different. The other thing is that Russia has put all of its eggs into the oil and gas basket, and basically their livelihood is dependent on oil and gas almost as much as Saudi Arabia. And yet the sanctions that we start adopting seem to be aimed directly at cutting off the sale of oil and gas by Russia to Western Europe. And so we're not only kind of cornering them with this whole NATO concept, which I think in the Eurasian empire mind, NATO is the American empire in Western Europe, but we're also squeezing them on oil and gas, which is their livelihood, which reminds me of what the United States did to Japan in the 30s that sort of led up to the Pearl Harbor. So, you know, when you corner a country, And a country that has a different worldview than we do, and if that cornering of the country feels existential to the country, then they could be apt to do very, very serious, have very serious reactions. And so I am worried about Putin's reaction, because I think from his standpoint, this feels existential. It feels probably as existential as if China was putting a base into China, into Canada.
Well, you know, Sandy, now he's thinking that the whole world is against him. And as America continues to mobilize and NATO continues to push, and he continues to see failure somewhat, he's going to become more and more desperate. And he's not the kind of guy who's just going to quit. I mean, he's not going to pick up his toys and leave, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and you know, he's not all that wrong. The United States has, you know, I suppose to the credit of its diplomacy or its economic power or whatever, it has lined up a great deal of the world in a manner that they seem to be against Russia. And there's also a worry in Russia's part that China is straddling a fence that maybe they aren't going to be there to help them either. So if you don't have a lifeline and you're cornered and it feels existential, and your empire has an ego and it's run by an autocrat who sees nothing but himself, I think he's probably as much of a malignant narcissist as Trump was. I think we have a very dangerous situation here. I think that we can expect Putin to reach to very extreme lengths to protect the status of Russia and to assert Russia's pride.
So, Sandy, Putin, nobody else can control decisions that are being made in Russia other than Putin himself. I mean, there isn't some other entity that can override him. He unilaterally has the ability to make those decisions alone.
Well, you know, it's interesting that there no longer is a Politburo. It's no longer a communist country. It no longer has the sort of organization that you could look at and understand from whence the autocratic powers were derived. It's got a so-called parliamentary organization, but Putin has done a very good job of consolidating it and creating basically a totally obedient parliamentary process that is his. He owns it.
So, Sandy, hang on. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is on the line. We'll be right back.